Brad, welcome to Presidio Bitcoin and the 21 and 21 show.
Nice. Thank you. I'm excited to get a chance to chat here. I actually heard a couple of podcasts ago talking about Buzz, so it's fun to come talk about that a little bit more today, hopefully.
Yes, you are in the seats of where the PBJ stars sit and talk about Block AI products a lot.
Yeah.
And now we have a Block AI person in the seat.
Nice.
Yes. So you've been at Block for nearly a decade.
Mm-hmm.
You've worked on a lot of stuff, machine learning, bank, all around the company. And now you're really involved with leading AI efforts.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit kind of like what led you down that path?
Yeah. So around the time that LLMs were like having their insane scaling moment, I was in our machine learning and data platform at Block. And we were figuring out the applications of the technology for our customers. And so we kind of built some of the platform features. I was involved in the space. And really, I was learning the technology by trying to use it for my day-to-day. And I was doing a lot of like copy and paste. So I would be chatting with an LLM, asking it for code snippets in languages that I didn't yet know. Like I was doing like some TypeScript and I had never programmed in TypeScript before. And I would copy and paste and it would like work more better than you would have expected at the time. This was in like 2023. And so at that time, I was like, okay, how do we make a workflow that people would use at the company to get value out of this and to have it actually work? And that was like kind of around the time the tool calling loop became a standard pattern and got involved in that. And then eventually built Goose as an internal tool. And then end of 2024, we open sourced Goose. And then that has been my initial project at Block that has turned into a lot of other things that we do for customers and internal automations.
Yes. And now Goose, well, the developers at Block who work on Goose Core are now part of my team,
yeah.
Spiral. So I've been learning a whole lot, which has been super interesting. And I'm really excited to like do more with that team and just more in the open source AI space. It's really interesting. Well, more about Goose. So for people that maybe don't know anything about it, mm-hmm. kind of like what's your quick pitch and why developers should care about it or anybody should care about it now that we have like a lot of kind of AI agent tools out there?
Yeah, this was such a much harder question to answer when it first came out because it was early in the agent harness space. But now everyone knows and uses Cloud Code. I don't know a single engineer who doesn't know what Cloud Code does. So it's the same idea. It's like an agent runs on your machine locally and operates mostly through tools like a bash tool and file operations, but can do any kind of like MCP connection or computer use kind of plugins. So you can have it do anything you want in the same way as Cloud Code. Some of the big differences, though, and why I still think it's relevant are that it is, model provider agnostic. So it works with models from Anthropic and OpenAI. I care a lot about that personally because I try to be working on the frontier of model performance. And so, you know, every couple of weeks, there's like a major new model. I'm super interested in some of the open source ones that came out the last couple of weeks, like GLM5.2. Kimi K27 are fantastic models for like cost efficiency, but I use Fable and GPT-5.6. So those are all very exciting. And in Goose, I can just switch between them without having to go adopt a whole new interface every time I do that. So I think that's a big part of it. The other thing that a lot of people care about, and I do sometimes too, especially at home, you can do local inference. So if you're working on something like a little bit sensitive, you don't necessarily want your data being shared. You can just do all local compute. And that's been working really great lately with like the Gemma family of models. They run comfortably on like a MacBook.
Yeah. I mean, I've also been going down that local AI kind of hardware rabbit hole. And you can do a lot now hardware is expensive, but you don't need like full, full GPUs. So that's a big win.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like a single, a recent MacBook Pro does amazing with the smaller models that are getting better and better. So I'm excited to see if new distillations come out and we get like a whole nother generation of that. I think that will be this year especially, or even like just in the last couple of months, I think people are like, wow, these bills are enormous and we're all worried about running out of our quotas for the subscriptions. And I think augmenting your work with local models is going to be a big part of getting to efficiency.
For sure. So this is another question I heard recently, and I would love your answer. For using something like Fable and pairing it with Goose instead of using Claude Code, doesn't matter which harness you use with the model if it's not trained on it?
Yeah, this has been a fascinating thing to see unfold. Goose was one of the earliest harnesses out there. And in the era where it really started taking off was around GPT-4o. In that time, I feel like the harness had to do all the work and the model did as little as possible, and that's how you got performance. But now, every time the models get better, I feel like the harness has less to do. Like, there's fewer issues that it needs to recover from. The model will figure out, even if your tools aren't perfect, the model is so smart, it will figure out how to make them work anyways. And so what we've been in, and so that's like one trend. We also thought, oh, maybe like the Anthropic models would fine tune towards their harness. And so you couldn't guess which of those two factors would be the dominant one. And I think observing it in the wild today, it's just that the models are so smart that all the harnesses have similar benchmark scores. So if you look at like any of the public benchmarks or internal ones that we do at Block, you'll see every harness gets about the same score with the same model to within like 1% or something. But the token efficiency can be a big difference. And so that's been something that's been really interesting for us. And I think Goose is very token efficient, even though, so it's getting the same task performance, but it might do it in fewer tokens.
Interesting. That's interesting. So for like maybe, well, individuals maybe have, you know, can say whatever, do what they want. But in terms of companies or small businesses, if they're either have already adopted AI or they're looking to adopt AI, like what benefit would there be to using something like Goose?
Yeah, I think for companies, like especially enterprises, I do think that you get a lot of value in having the flexibility to pick which model for the task. And so at Block, for example, I've been using GPT models for code review for a long time because I think it's a great kind of cost performance trade-off, and they're really good at providing like feedback on pull requests. It's a lot of personal preference on which one you do for your daily coding work. But like a good example is I've also found that the Sonnet or Opus models are really great for SQL queries and analytics. So it's like there's kind of these like pros and cons to each of the models that you can just decide based on the task you're doing, which one you want to use. So having that flexibility is great. You can just do both in Goose and not have to like switch out which interface you're on. The other angle on this though is that token efficiency thing. So that's like a huge theme for the last couple of months, not just for individuals, but for companies. Like, how do you get to token efficiency? So the harness plays a role, picking the right model for the task plays a role, and having just like all of that flexibility is a big part of why we use Goose at Block.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And also like if there's like any changes with, you know, models, and important not to be like locked into like a single provider, or if like a company goes down and like you're tied to that, that's like not great.
Yeah, it's actually really funny because at what point do you consider your model inference critical infrastructure? And I think we're there. Like for a great example of this is at Block, we have incident response that's driven by AI. So like a first responder might be an AI agent that is like noticed that there's some sort of like page happening or a sentry error, all kinds of signals might come in. And we'll try to find the root cause before a human even wakes up and sees that there's an issue. And you don't really want that to be down, because if you just have if Anthropic or OpenAI is having an outage that day, you don't really want your like incident response system to be offline. And so you can stack them. So if you've got a couple of different models available, you can always like gracefully degrade. Maybe it's not the best model for the job, but you have many backup options.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So Block is doing a lot with AI.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like people maybe don't know about it at all since, you know, well, one, Block, most people know of Square, Cash App, or the other smaller teams more. But like, what do you think, like, what are the cool things that Block is doing with AI that people should care about?
Yeah, obviously we've been talking a lot about Goose. I think we've been doing a lot of our AI through open source collaborations. So we're one of the founding members of the Agentic AI Foundation, which is part of the Linux Foundation. So we contributed Goose to the AAIF at the same time as MCP from Anthropic and Agents.md from OpenAI. So we've been contributors to MCP and kind of driving, like helping to work through the AI protocols that are like making it easier for everyone to build AI solutions in the ecosystem. So I'm very excited about that part. But maybe the less visible half is all of the things we do internally at Block, which is there's a ton. And so we were recently, I can talk about this now because we recently had some blog posts talking about a tool we call BuilderBot. So BuilderBot is the name of our like internal AI agent, and it can kind of do everything at the company. It runs in Slack, but you can also run it like locally in a desktop app. The Slack version is really cool though, because it's like a collaborative space that's like where a lot of our incident response or people just like noticing they want to do an upgrade, and you might have a couple of different roles in the company all talking about it, and then you can just immediately go ask BuilderBot like, oh, make this code change. And so there's, I could talk forever about BuilderBot, but to keep it to the point, one of the things that I think we had to figure out and invent at Block to make this work was understanding our whole system. Like, we have a couple hundred million lines of code at Block. We have 50,000 repositories internally. So if you just ask a question of like, oh, how do I fix this thing in Cash App? If you don't know exactly which team to go talk to about making that, it used to be impossible. Now the bot has like indexed this entire like code base and the way the services talk to each other. So it can just track that down. And it's almost like perfectly effective at this. So that's been a big deal. Like pretty much everyone from any team can jump into any other code base. And even crossing roles. Like we'll have a designer come in and send a PR, or someone on the sales team just gets off a call with someone in like customer support. And they can come say like, oh, well, how do I fix this?
Yeah, I mean, I love BuilderBot because, well, one thing, my least favorite thing about a big company is it's so hard to get to know like which person you're supposed to ask a question to, or like,
yeah.
Then you need a meeting and then you find out you have the wrong people or you get the wrong information. And like, I literally spent like all day in BuilderBot a couple weeks ago, just like really thoroughly understanding some different aspects of like Bitcoin and Cash App and all these different kind of things. And like, it was so helpful, just like I learned so much, and then I didn't have to talk to anybody, and I knew exactly who to go to like set up meetings, which would have historically taken me, I don't even know where I would have started.
This is one of the, my like 2026, this just has exceeded my expectations in every way. Like the ability of the current generation of models to like follow up on the search queries. Like we did a lot of work to make the search like cover everything and to be like effective at finding the right content. But then once you hand it to an agent, it doesn't have to find it on the first try. It'll just like keep digging in or like follow the breadcrumbs. And so you get, yeah, just this completely unexpected ability for it to understand everything about the company once you do that.
For sure. So we've had BuilderBot and been using it. Mm-hmm. Internal tool, awesome. Love it. Can't say enough good things about it. Now I see QuadTag. It's kind of similar to BuilderBot.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's like this, the convergent evolution in the space is crazy. Like we see so many things where different companies will post like super similar stuff it'll just be on X. Like maybe they haven't open sourced it or anything, but just people are building the same stuff. So a lot of people have come at this from the Slack angle. It makes sense, right? Because it's convenient and it's already a chat-like interface, so agents fit right in, but it's multiplayer. And I think that was the like initial insight of this. And actually, so this is where Buzz comes in. So we've been like this multiplayer, like multiple people having a conversation and having an agent come augment them is great. And then in reverse, we have local tools where one person is working with maybe many agents. There's been a lot of that throughout 2025. And I think the inevitable like next step is what if you have like one system where there's a conversation between many humans and many agents. And so we've actually been building an open source prototype of that called Buzz. So kind of in the same neighborhood as like a Discord or a Slack in terms of like having channels where people are having conversations, but just this like very streamlined experience for bringing in an agent to represent you or like to have your permissions in that system, do a lot of work. And I'm super excited about where that might go.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, Slack is, great to chat with people and have builder bot to answer questions. But once you start getting into that more collaborative mode, there are definitely limitations.
Yeah. And like the, it's kind of like with a Slack bot, there's like a system administrator who's in charge of like making sure that that's plugged in and working and figuring out what it can do. I'm that system administrator for BuilderBot. And so I know like how difficult it can be for someone to just have a new idea that they want to go figure out how to make it work. With a tool like Buzz, what we've done is like moved that into the, every person has the ability to just like onboard an agent and like they can just configure what that agent can go and do. And so it can run on their laptop or it can run remotely. So they have this incredible flexibility to come up with like new use cases, but use that same like core communication system. They can reuse all of that, but they can go make whatever idea they want work.
Interesting. So do you think the future that we're heading is like maybe companies will, you think companies will either incorporate BuilderBot type capabilities into Slack or just move off of Slack into something more like Buzz?
I think it's going to take forever for people at enterprises as big as Block to like consider seriously moving off of Slack or Microsoft Teams or whatever they use. I could see that being a years long thing before people would really do it. Cause it's just so like, it's kind of like very ingrained in the way we run our systems in the same way that a lot of companies have like decades of history in Jira. Like how do you ever get off of Jira once you've like encoded business processes in there? So there's some of that. I'm more excited, at least in the short term, about Buzz for small teams or like open source communities. Goose is a great example of that. Like we have a Discord that we run where people jump in and they can join the conversation. And that's been fantastic, but they don't actually see where we're doing the work. And also they, like when they bring code contributions to Goose, usually it's already done. Like they've been, you know, probably working with AI, but they've done that whole loop of like having the conversation, figuring out what to do without anybody from the team having any visibility into it. So with like open source or small teams, you can just do that all together in one channel.
Mm-hmm.
And like you can have the conversation up front, like, oh, how should we do this? And then the AI goes and makes it happen. So that's the like ecosystem I'm more excited about right now. It's like open source, maybe small teams building software together, that kind of stuff.
Seems like that like this type of collaborative building is just going to like once companies or small groups of people like get onto this train, it just unlocks like so many new like creative entrepreneurial like opportunities.
Yeah. I think when you like start doing this, like I've been working in Buzz a lot lately as we're like working on improving the system itself. You change the way you think about the whole workflow of software engineering. I think it speeds you up a lot. And you bring in different roles earlier in the process has been a big thing I've been like feeling. Like we will have this upfront conversation between a couple of engineers, a couple of designers, figure out how we wanted to build. And then we can all just like go run some agents and watch them work and then kind of react to the prototype or like look at a video together. That, I think, changes the way that you might have teams working together. Like it's a lot more cross-functional. And yeah, I think I could see there being a lot in the like, you know, open source systems or like having that conversation in public in a very literal way. Like you could have people jump in, make a contribution, like kind of like become part of the community without it having to be all through this like pull request dynamic.
Yes. GitHub pull requests.
Yeah.
I've come to like, but I will say it took a little bit.
Yeah. It's super intimidating, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. For a new, like a first time contributor. And I think it's so, whereas like with, you know, with Discord and other kinds of, not software necessarily, but other kinds of communities, it's so casual to just jump into a channel and start talking to people. And I like the idea a lot that you can get that conversation going before you have to be like, oh, this is a large pull request. I like am so, you know, so happy that you did that, but also we were like working on something else that's also in flight right now that makes that, you know, irrelevant or whatever. And I just think it's way more efficient to have that conversation before people have put in the time or the like token spend.
Yes, exactly. Well, I just went to the AI Engineer World Fair last week, which was really cool. I saw Alex Hancock speak. I feel like there's a lot of conversation going around just generally like the role of a software engineer and AI engineer as AI is moving so quickly. I guess like with AppBlock and like the different AI tools that we're working on, kind of like what have you seen be the philosophy of like, you know, being an engineer, being an AI engineer, and like, why would it be kind of like exciting to be an AI engineer at Block?
Yeah. I think like in general for all engineers, one thing that has changed is that role specialization, it still matters, but I think it's not a blocker anymore like it used to be. Like, I don't have a lot of front-end experience, but I'm building apps all the time. And I think AI kind of levels that playing field. And so a lot of the emphasis has moved towards the ideas you have, like what do you want to build? And also like the experience you want to make. So like the design element. And then last, like for really big systems like running Block, like as a company with like a couple hundred million lines of code, the like high level architecture, like how do you make something reliable and scalable? Those are still like those three pieces are the parts now that I think are the human element in the system, and the AI can make a lot of the actual like low level details happen. So I think, you know, as just an engineer at Block, that's really exciting, but also a little intimidating because you can kind of do whatever. And I also think it means that you like want to do way more collaboration with the product teams, the design teams. I feel like a lot of my work has like started to edge into the design space, and I'm like really jealous of how great the designers are at it. So there's a lot of that. I think it's expanding what you can do, which is very cool. And then also you have to learn a ton.
It's fun to keep learning. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I guess my very last question before we wrap up, we have a Goose event tonight,
nice,
which I'm super excited about, is like if you could give people just like one piece of advice if they're just recently getting into maybe the open source side development of AI, like what would maybe learn or do, get involved with?
That's a tough question, actually. So like if you are interested in contributing to
something like Goose.
Yeah, something like Goose or like building AI tools. I think the most interesting space to be in right now is thinking about a little bit less like the low-level details of like how does the agent use these tools, and like how does the agent calling loop work? Like that's important, but also it's getting more and more solved. I think the more interesting half of the space is like, what do I need to be able to see as the person who's making the judgment calls or like having the taste in the system? And so I'm personally excited about the interface layer. And that's where I think a lot of the opportunities are for new contributors. It's like, okay, what does it look like to work with AI? How do you use it in your day-to-day life? Like coming up with those end-to-end experiences and then building something that is like a prototype of what you want to see.
If you want to like contribute that to a project like Goose or another open source project, is the best way to just like build a demo or yeah, showcase it and like make a PR, like yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. I like if you're in that experience world, I actually think that like the video recording is so valuable. Like if you were Goose, for example, is supporting kind of more clients, if you were wanted to like show, come bring a video of like, okay, this is the thing that I'm thinking of, like it should look like this, like and then I think you would either like either that could become a part of Goose or like become a project in its own right. And I think like that's what you want to do. Build like a maybe low fidelity demo that gets people excited about it.
Awesome. And AI makes that easy. That's been my whole thing recently, is I like to demo or like make a mock-up and then yeah, I just show someone. It gets it changed through way quicker.
Yeah, I totally think that's it. And it's new, but it's way more efficient because you can spend 100 pages of documentation on like how to build the product that you want to see, or you can just go ask an AI and tweak and iterate until it's like close to what you were looking for.
Yeah, and people don't read that long yeah, documents anymore. So
yeah, at all.
That's okay. That's a good change to society. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the show. If our listeners want to follow your work at all or reach out, what should they do?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, Bradley Axon, but also GitHub, BAxon.
You are the first person on this show, and I have interviewed a lot of engineers who have told me GitHub.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what people just been directing me to Twitter, GitHub. That's a good answer.
Yeah. GitHub's nice because it's like, okay, here's the portfolio, right? Like yeah. You can see all the contributions and everything. Yeah.
Good answer. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. And yeah, I hope you
thanks
have
for having me.
A good day. Rest of your time at Presidio Bitcoin.